Good afternoon. I have to acknowledge that this presentation was supposed to be actually presented by Selina Rahman, one of the developers of this model. Unfortunately, she's not here today. Since I developed the conceptual models, I took that opportunity to present this paper and research. If you have any further question, we can definitely answer that after the presentation. Just overview of this presentation, I'll talk about the project choice, what it is, the conceptual model of social transformation, community-based participatory research that we used, also the intersection of social marketing, how social marketing played a role in community-based participatory research, and how all these together help us to evolve the community and academic partnership, and what type of lesson we learn. And I have to tell that each and every component we, in fact, presented in different conferences. So I'll be focusing on the result of what we learn, how the partnership developed, rather than providing details of survey process or assessment process. Those are so detailed that I have to probably spend like six, seven sessions for that. Project Choice stands for Center for Healthy Options and Innovative Community Empowerment. This is a National Institute of Health funded project established in 2003 by a historic partnership between Florida A&M University and Harvard School of Public Health. Almost $6.5 million was funded from NIH Center for Minority Health. And it's established to create methods for eliminating health disparities in urban and rural communities. The urban community from Massachusetts, and we are focusing on in this particular study, the Gadsden County, a rural community in Florida. And also the strategies included is coalition building, community organizing, CBPR, training and information dissemination. Current research project under this umbrella, effect of lead exposure, stress, and racial discrimination on hypertension, that's ongoing, and also childhood obesity prevention, that's a future project, and partly we started or initiated that project, and also ongoing infant mortality among African-American population. This is just a geographical overview. As you can see, the red mark over there would be Gadsden County in North Florida, near the capital of Florida, Tallahassee. And this is the picture of our rural community neighborhood that I took just before coming to this conference and added today. Gadsden County is a 516 square mile area, population 45,000. And almost 20% live below the poverty line, and the census is 57.1%. Total county population is African American population, as you can see. Mostly, this county population lived in by doing agricultural works, and nowadays, little change or shifting of population, of different migrating population from Haiti and other areas are coming to this county too. This is the conceptual model for social transformation, or logic model, I would say. And I'll just go over it very quickly because it's really extensive, that we took community, rural and urban, and we believe that these are the methods outreach, research, training, and advocacy will bring to social transformation. In between, we have partnering with academic institutions, faith organizations, healthcare community, and of course, media. Social marketing is used to promote community-based participatory research. The reason, I'll describe that in details later, but just to make sure that we are understanding the process, why social marketing is coming in community-based participatory research. We conceptualize that since community-based participatory research is total paradigm shift from traditional research. We are making partnership with the community, not only we are using them as a subject of the research, rather they are part of our research team. They are making decision about prioritizing what would be the next step for our research or intervention. That's why social marketing was used to disseminate the idea as an innovative process to our community members, including academic partners. And research, as I already mentioned, hypertension and other study. Training, we have introduced a junior faculty research program. We provided 26 mini grants to our faculty members and student members, and those are the base for our future bigger studies. And we already have completed those mini grants. And different type of advocacy, for example, developing community alliance between the institutions and other stakeholders. So that's the conceptual logic model. What are the methods we use for evaluating this partnership? Different type of interviews, survey among academic partners, community members, and other stakeholders. We also did something called community readiness assessment on specific topic. And I can explain that later, but it's a rigorous process to understand whether community is ready for change. For example, we took one particular topic like childhood obesity prevention. And what it does, I'll just show our result, like how we categorize community readiness. Just like human behavior, any person, when a person changes the behavior, the person goes through different change stages. Exactly same way, the community also goes through the different stages of change, and we use that model for assessment. Then we receive feedbacks, and of course, we assess the research implementation, how it is going on. So this is one of the models. Bruce Tuckmans created this model that any ideal partnership or gathering should go through these four different stages. And historically, it's actually happened long before when French social psychologist Gustave de Mello, if I'm not wrong about the name, he actually wrote a book in 1876, The Crowd, the Study of Popular Mind, very fascinating, interesting book that actually study when a lot of people get together, how the dynamic, psychological dynamic going on and how they bring result into that association. So what happens based on that, Bruce Tuckman created this, like forming, storming, norming, and performing. Forming, when they pretend to get together or get along, and storming means they letting down the barrier and get down to the issue. Norming means getting used to each other and develop trust and productivity, and performs. So when I will share different factors for successful partnership, you will see how it happened and what type of, the partnership did not develop in a smooth way. So this is another conceptual model of community-based participatory research. Basically, two communities, urban and rural, two universities, Harvard School of Public Health and Florida A&M University. These are the components that we try to develop, building trust, building strength, and facilitate collaboration and other stuff so that we can empower and go through a social transformation process. Next one is the intersection of social marketing and community-based participatory research. We conceptualize, as I mentioned, that social marketing should let the community know that this research is for mutual benefit. It's not just academic benefit. And also culturally adapted social marketing will emphasize the cultural norms and different type of anthropological aspect of the target population. And I can explain, if anybody is interested, I can explain that later. This particular model that I developed is actually part of my forthcoming book on community-based participatory research and social marketing. But what it conceptualized that in community-based participatory research, these are the key areas that social marketing could be used to reduce the stereotype about research. And I have to share one thing here. How social marketing can change that stereotype. For example, when you went to the community and tried to introduce a new research, the community members immediately shared, okay, Enough is enough. You did enough research in our community. You all come and take, you interview or collect data. Then you are gone. What is in it for us? And I took that very seriously. I thought that's the key point for researchers to understand. What is in the research for them? We just cannot go there and impose our expert opinion. And that should not be the way. So what we did in this conceptual model, we identified the key areas where community-based participatory research methodology could be disseminated, or the idea could be disseminated in community members, community organizations, and also the academic people. Because a lot of academicians also miss this notion, and that's why this model was developed. In the stage of community readiness, as I was describing earlier, when we categorize the stage, these are the kind of ladder, I would say, that sometimes we found the community, they're saying they're ready to change, but they're actually in the vague awareness or pre-planning type of process, which means the community may be considering a change, but there is no substantial activity going on in that particular community. So we did that study for childhood obesity prevention, and we found them as a pre-planning stage, which means the community actually prioritized childhood obesity as a problem, and they are ready for intervention, not for any other research, not epidemiological research, rather intervention. And next step, we identified, based on the survey, based on the interview, based on the evaluation, what are the factors that can actually help a successful partnership. The most important thing, I would say, mutual trust. Mutual trust, group norms for collaborative work, fair participation in an open communication, group membership with sense of belonging, leadership. And conflict resolution, very important factor for this partnership. And I will share just one thing, that what type of, as I said, the Tuchman model, what kind of problem we faced. Sometimes we faced, like a group of researchers from Harvard School of Public Health, they basically where either I should be politically correct to say either eliminated or they left the project almost at the end of this partnership. So you can imagine that partnership development or trust development is not a very easy thing to do. So one group of researchers left the project, then another group from Harvard School of Medicine, they entered into this project. So as I was describing the different stages, this is how the group dynamics works. But the community was very strict and I would say supportive for this project. And the different cores we have in this project, like community core, research core, and training core, they integrated or supported each other very nicely to make this as a program. So other specific priority, I would say, factor was the productivity and partnership assessment and feedback. Next step, I'll just go quickly on, I think I missed one slide. The project that's going on right now, lead hypertension research study, this investigate the cause of high pressure in African-American population. Two phases, one is survey, another is clinical data. The survey was done by using convenient sampling. I will share that flowchart. Okay, it's not coming now. How can I move to the next one? Okay. The convenience sampling method and the other random sampling, which is the clinical phase, is going on right now. What it does, it looks at discrimination, exposure to lead, and see how many people are actually developing hypertension in African-American population. Another very innovative process included in this study, which is the X-ray. This particular X-ray machine developed at Harvard School of Medicine, and only 5 centers in this country. It's called KXRF. Very interesting thing is this X-ray can identify the amount of deposition of lead in bones. So if someone is exposed to lead, say 20, 30, even 40 years ago, in early childhood, which is, you understand the social dynamic, most of the African American population, the housing and environmental exposure to lead 20, 30 years ago, we still can identify the amount of lead exposure now in 2008 by this extermination. So we just established a new extra center with the KXRF licensing at Florida A&M University, and we are collaborating with Institute of Public Health and other partners at the university to measure that lead exposure. So we can tell what type of causal relationship between lead exposure and hypertension. So what are the lessons learned in this study? Activism on part of professional can help to inspire and empower to build trust, the key word, trust between academic and community members and in between academicians, very important for partnership. Needs for diffusion of innovation type of technique, those who are in behavioral science or community health, diffusion of innovation, a theoretical model that is used when we introduce any new idea. And we can tell that the world population, we can divide it into different groups. Like only 5% people would be innovator, 25% people would be early adopter, and 25% will always be laggards. They will not change. And we know that. So we use that model to as much as possible in the dissemination process of information, and that is a key point for community participation and partnership. Social marketing and intersection of CBP are very critical to understand, and longevity and accountability with the professional community, that also helps to restore faith and hope. Success is dependent on multicultural factor, multi-issue approach, and that's very key for social transformation. And then partnership utilizes the strength of all members. That's the key point. When I'm going as a public health professional or somebody as a medical professional or expert, we have to understand the community members also has expertise. They understand better than us how community works, what community actually looking for. So we need to understand that strength of every members for successful partnership. In that way, I can conclude my presentation. Thank you very much. I'll entertain any question at the end. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next presenter is Albert Ramirez. He is the founder of Integrated Community and Family Services, which provides training, consultation, and direct services that promote the development of rural community leadership structures and rural health resource centers, whose primary aim is the enhancement of access to health-related services for rural county residents. In addition to having provided training and consultation services in South and East Texas, he serves as the executive director for the Burleson County Health Resource Commission, which oversees the activities of the county's two health resource centers.
Okay. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. This